So it's good to see each one of you here today. And it's one thing you never know about a Baptist church. You just wait 5 minutes after you start, and then you know how many you got. Right? And you know how many you have. It's just the way it is here. So it's good to have you here this morning. And it's great because we have a baptism right after service. So that's really good. Got another one on Wednesday. So that's good. It's a reminder that who's your one. If you want to make the commitment to... Right here is a bookmarker, just kind of a piece to remind you if you want to make a commitment that you're going to, before the Lord, you make a commitment to the church that you're going to do your best to share the gospel with someone, lead someone to Christ. You take one of these black markers and sign your name over here. And then when somebody comes to Christ, then we put a red marker, a red name. So we have two on there already. And so we're trying to see what we can do about working with them. And see, right now, you should have got excited. I'm sorry, but you should have got excited. That's two people that come to Christ. That's two more than we had a week or two ago. So we need to be getting excited about it, because today we're going to talk about that a little bit. If you have your Bibles in Luke chapter 15, we're going to be there this morning. And I want to ask you a question. And that is, you ever wish someone... come back to their senses? You ever have a son or a daughter? You're like, man, I don't know. Doesn't mean you stop loving them, but they are drifting far away. You ever a friend or a family member like that? You ever have someone like that? Someone that you know that has drifted from the Lord? I have these faces that just keep scanning across my mind. If this church has so many prodigals, it's unbelievable. You see, we should be actually not just working on the ceiling, but we should be working on the balcony for seating. But we have so many prodigals, so many people who have turned their back and just walked away from the faith, or because they got upset with something in life, it didn't turn out the way that they wanted it to be or they thought it was going to be. He just struggled. Did you know there's a right way to live? A right way that pleases God, that blessings flow from it, and it's from the Word of God. If we follow God's way and God's Word, and we abide by the Holy Spirit and abide by His Word, we can't go wrong. I'd rather be in the hands of God disciplining me than be running out there. I definitely would do that. But I love it that God doesn't give up so easily. God does not give up so easily. Not as easy as we do. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus has some pieces here. He talks about some good things about the sheep, which is about a man, about men. It's a kind of a piece for men. Talks about the lost coin, which is kind of peace for the ladies. But I want to go to the parable, the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Which means sinful living, okay? But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older brother was in the field, and when he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father, Lord, we ask, Lord, your presence to be, Lord, upon this time of the service of your word, that our hearts might be open, that we might see spiritually and we might hear spiritually what you would have for us. We take it in as spiritual food, and may your spirit, Lord, lead as you would. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So here's the scene. Young son says, I got a plan, and it's better than yours, Dad, and it's better than yours, Mom. I'm going to take what's mine, and I'm going to go out and do my thing because I have a plan. Now, I have a plan. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my thing because Mom and Dad are old. They don't know anything. And I can imagine that the dad was probably saying, now slow your roll there, son. You need to think about what you're doing. You don't need to do this. But it didn't matter. The words were going in one ear and out the other. And off he goes. And that's the day the parents start having heartbreak. That's the day that the parents start thinking, and they begin to worry and worry and worry. Let me tell you, if you're a young person, I'm telling you, if you're a young person, listen, you worry your parents more than you ever can imagine. Now, here's the thing. Once you even grow up, you still make your parents still worry about you. Even when you're gone. Even when you got married, your parents still are concerned about you. And this is the piece. But the father, we see, did not chase him. He did not chase him. Although I think he maybe wanted to, but he didn't. Because that would hurt both of them. And then off he goes. But is any plan, and most plans of young people, when they decide to take no advice and they do their own things, it always usually falls apart. I can't find a young person that's God made plans and did it and didn't have problems. When you want to walk away from those who help you, those who love you, and you want to do it your way, there is consequences. You reap what you sow. This plan was doomed from the beginning. But the son says, I want my stuff. I got it. I got money now. I can go out and do my thing. I'm going to go live my life now. I'm going to do my thing. No, I'm going to do my thing. How many of y'all been here? It didn't work out, did it? Okay. I'm going to run down this list for you. And I want you to really think about it for a second. When a person abandons the family that loves them, and I'm not talking, sometimes people grow up and they don't have the best parents. I understand that. But when you walk away from a godly family, that's a loving family, that family that's really working, trying to make it work together, a good family, you're walking away from the best thing that you've got. Okay? You're walking away from the Lord. These are some things that happens when we do that, when we have done that in the past. The first thing is, you left the people who are close to God. When you go out and you want to live that life, you're going to leave people that are close to God. You know what that means? That's the prayer warriors. That's the people that God is blessing. Those are the people that has God's favor, not that they're his favorite, but you can be found with favor. And those are the people that God, the blessings of favor are found in the people that are close to God. Those people are faithful. And as somebody said, I think it was Ashley said this morning, aren't we glad that God is faithful even when we're not? And let me tell you something, when we're not faithful, there is still a group of people that love you, that is faithful, that will still pray for you when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And as a parent, you're probably still praying for some. Maybe you got one. Maybe you got other people in your family. But one of the things that happened is when you leave the people that are close to God. They're the most powerful people in the world. It is not by position. It is by the hand of God. And if you know someone that God works through, I'm telling you, that's where you see God's hand moving. And that is a very powerful person. You do things, you begin to do things you said you would never do. When you walk away, you begin to do things you said you would never do. You suppress and you ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction. You become cold to the movement of the Holy Spirit. You lie. You lie some more. You lie to survive. You lie so much that you begin to believe your own lies. And you'll lie to the people that love you the most. Now you're not with people that are God's people now. Now you're with a new group of people that are far from God. Come on now. You're with people now that are far from God. No one trusts you in that group. No one trusts you, not even your so-called new friends, because they lie too. They steal too. And your new family, they don't trust you either. Your money and your assets are all fading fast. They're already faded and gone. We'll get to that in a second. You can't keep a job because you don't got no place to live. You can't keep a job. You sleep a lot because you can't face today. You can't face the morning. And you won't even get up in the morning. You're more depressed than you've ever been in your entire life. When you walk away from God, you walk away from the family of God, you will be at the most depressed place in your life. This is exactly where Satan wants you to be. You're more depressed than you've ever been. And then you begin to pick up some really dangerous, harmful habits. Drugs, drinking, sleeping around, doing all that stuff, sleeping in people's houses you don't even know. You don't even know where you're at. You wake up in places you don't even know how you got there. This is what it looks like when you walk away from God, because there's the protection. Listen, there's something I preached on a few weeks ago. Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? It is. It's the beginning. It's that strong peace. We need to fear God, but here it is. It's not fearing God that he's going to put the hammer and going to whip you, because the Bible says the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, but I will tell you, the fear of the Lord is this, that he might just take his hand off of you. And you're going to do it your own way. And you're going to reap the consequences. And I'm telling you, there are some people I know right now that are going to reap some consequences. And they don't even know it yet. But I'm telling you, the Titanic is sinking. And they think it's going to work. But I'm telling you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can't have your sin and your smiles and all your life like you think you can. You can't have it like that. And the biggest piece is, when you get to a place like this, and you're going to feel lonely, but you're going to put a fake smile. I'm telling you, people talking about fake smiles in church. Let me tell you, when you're away from God, it's all fake. It's all fake. But I want to tell you this. When you are walking away from the Lord and you're walking away from those godly relationships, you're drifting from the Lord, and it isn't good. You become broke. Now, let me tell you what broke really means. I mean, you become broke. The first part of being broke is financially broke, which means you don't have nothing in the pocket. You have nothing in the purse. You are now living off of others, and you are hustling. You've got to learn how to hustle. You've got to learn how to survive, because you don't have any money. And for the ladies, they begin to give their bodies away for the drugs that they need or the place they need to stay. The men begin to do other things. And they may be doing things also in that same way. And they become financially broke. I thought the plan was going to work. I'm going to do it my way. And let me tell you, this never turns out the way that you think. You're financially broke, and then you become this son ended up becoming physically broke. He's physically broke. Let me tell you what physically broke looks like. Physically broke looks like this. You don't look like you used to, physically. You picked up age. I mean, age is just coming on you quick. You're 25 and you look 33. You're 35 and you look 45. That's the drug life. That's the hard life. That's the street life. You're 45 and you look 60. I've seen people that look 10, I'm 10 years older than them, but they look older than me. I'm surprised when I hear some people's ages. But then I hear about their history, and I know what, and then it's because of that lifestyle. That lifestyle is very costly, and it will break you down physically. Physically, it will break you down. And you don't even look like yourself anymore. You don't even look like yourself anymore. And then you, not only are you broke financially, broke physically, you're broke spiritually. When you're broke spiritually, there's almost like you're totally empty inside. There's nothing there. You become your own mini God. And you're not good at fixing things, and you can't do miracles, and you can't do the things that God can do. And you become physically broke. You either become hardened and you walk away from the things of God because you get angry and you place blame on everyone else but yourself. And even if bad things happen to you, you still take it to the next realm and you block everybody else out. And you are just basically broken inside and you are spiritually broke. So you're bankrupt. And let me tell you, this is exactly what Satan has been working on since the day you thought about the plan. He didn't let it happen today, that day, but he worked on it. He said, "You're smarter than Dad. Why don't you come out here and live a little? You always got to get up and do your chores. You always got to do this. They always want you to get up and go to school. They always want you to do your plan. Listen, we got a plan, don't we? Your friends are doing it. They're having a good time." This is what Satan's thinking all the time. You can see it. You can catch it through the Word. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, "I have come to give life more abundantly." Okay? Well, what does he do? He says he comes to steal what? What's he come to steal? He comes to steal all your finances and all your resources. That's what he did to Job right off the bat. I'm going to steal maybe what you think is it's everything, and everything you had is now past tense. That's what the prodigal son can say. Everything he has is past tense. So Satan comes to steal his finances and all of his resources. And then what happens is sometimes they want to come back to mom and dad real quick. But it don't last long because they get a little bit and they refuel. So there's nothing. We're going to get to that part in a few minutes. But the person wants to come back quick, but they're not right here. They're not right here. But they may be physically there, but they're not really. There's no change. So back there because they're broke. They're broke. So Satan has stole all their finances, their resources, their cars, their homes, their money, their job. They have nothing. But he doesn't stop at stealing. He wants to kill. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to kill you physically. He wants to kill you physically. Kill all your relationships. Kill you physically through abuse, the DUIs. Whether it's being homeless and freezing outside, it's murder, or just say, you know what, I'm just going to end it and I'm going to commit suicide. That's it. One less person in this world. And then he comes to destroy, spiritually, to destroy you. So that you feel empty inside, that you say, God can't love you. He whispers in your ear, God doesn't love you anymore. You've walked away too far. You've done things that you have violated yourself. You've broken God's. Because if it's a Christian person that's went into that direction of backsliding, into that prodigal living, there's some things that Satan will use, as he did in Matthew chapter 4, and the temptation of Christ. He'll begin to put things in your head to destroy you and your world. Just remember, meantime, mom and dad are back at home worrying. They don't know what you did Thursday night. They don't know where you slept Friday night. And let me tell you something. Some of us may have some really good kids, and I'm thankful we all have good kids. Point. But I'm telling you, it doesn't take but a moment for one to switch and go in another gear. It doesn't mean you were a bad parent. I want you to get that out of your head. It doesn't mean you were a bad parent. You can raise them up great, and they something crazy just happens, and they just shoot right off. And he ends up in a place, instead of the local club and the local places where he went to, and the hotel, the motel, or the house that whatever he was living in, it's over. Remember, he's bankrupt. And now he's living in a pig pen, where pigs are. And the Jews don't mess with pigs. Pigs are dirty animals, unclean, what they would consider Old Testament unclean animals. Remember what I said? You begin to do things that you thought you would never, you're starting to do things that they say they would never do, but they're doing them. Then they're self-justifying those things. Are they keeping them? Let me tell you, there's a lot of secrets being hidden at this time. He's laying in a pig pen, wallowing in the mud. He's not eating. Probably pretty skinny about this time. Mom and dad's not chasing him. Family members aren't knocking at the door. And then the switch flips. Why am I here? It's that conversation that prodigals have when they don't talk to nobody, but they're talking to themselves. It's a big conversation. All of a sudden it's like, what am I doing here? What is happening to me? Some of your translations may say that he came to his senses. The scripture says he came to his senses. He begins a personal overview of what has happened, what he has become. Maybe I'm going to die if I keep living like this, and where I'm at is not working for me. And then all of a sudden it comes out, I need to go home. The sad part is, with us today, not everybody has a place to go home. I'm watching a documentary, it's on Netflix, and it's about teenage girls that are in jail, incarcerated in Madison, Indiana. There is one person in there that cannot leave, because by the state, they cannot leave unless they have a place to go to. The parents are in prison. So she has to stay there until she ages out. But they're trying to find a long-distance relative. Not everybody has a place to go back to. Not everybody has a home. But I want to tell you something. You look at me right now. Let me tell you something. If you need more, we help. But this can be your home. Hello? We are not perfect, but God is your Father. The church family can be your home. Can be your family. And we want to be your family. Amen? Come on now, where are you all at this morning? Let me tell you, we've got drug addicts, we've got alcoholics, we've got homosexuals and lesbians. They're all part of this church. And you can't tell me that some of you don't need to get it right. And some of you don't, and some of you, as we're going to get there, need to learn how to love people who are coming from the highway, from the pig pen. We need to wake up. Because we have some children, and we have some teens, we have some adult children right now that are not living right. They're living in a sinful lifestyle. And let me tell you, when Satan gets the victory, it is at death. It is at death. I know, it is at death. We worry too much about ourselves and about our own kids, and we also need to be loving on other kids. But he says it's not working. I need to go home. So he begins to say, I've sinned. I need to get back. I really messed up. I got to go back. And the first of the big step is he took a step forward, which means he took a step away. Now, let me tell you, the step away from the home and the step into sin, it can be a very fun feel. Woo, I'm free. But the farther you get away, the more you find out that you're not free at all. You're a captive slave to sin. And then you step away and you begin to step away from that sinful lifestyle and you step toward that place where you know you need to get it right. And there's a heaviness that comes on when we live in sin. But I want to tell you, the son was stepping out of the home and he was like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do my thing. And he was feeling good about it. But the step back was, I am broken. I am full of, I got so much weight on myself. I got so much weight. I can't carry this no more. I can't do this. I need to go home. And as he's going, the Bible says that his father saw him from afar off and he comes up and he falls on his neck and he gives him kisses. And listen, he was thinking he's going to come back and just be a servant to the family. And there were tears of joy from the father and relief. But from the son, I believe it was tears of just brokenness. He just emptied it all out. He was broken. I'm going to tell you, there were hugs and there was kisses. He fell upon his neck. There was hugs and there was kisses. Not I told you so. You shouldn't have did that. Let me tell you, if they're coming back, they know. Now, let me tell you, if they come back, like I said earlier, they come back and they haven't fixed anything. They're just there for money. They're just there for a place to stay. Let me tell you something. There's still a lot of work to do. The father was always watching. I believe the mother's always watching. We're living out there in that pig pen, living out there in that little style, away from God. Worrying parents all the time, worrying grandparents all the time. Let me tell you, back in the fold, back in the place where God's people are, they are doing something. They are praying. Amen? You're going to pray for your law. You're going to pray for your wayward. You're going to pray for those who've walked away from the faith. You're going to walked away from the family. You're going to pray for them from a distance. And you're going to believe that God's going to turn them around. But I'm telling you, the father didn't scold him. He put a robe and a ring and some sandals on him. Let me tell you something. If you say you forgive somebody, then you need to show it. Because people know if you really forgive. Doesn't mean you have to forget, but it means you forgive. And the Father restores the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ restores us when we come to Him. And we come to Him with all that we are. We need to come with Him broken. We need to come to Him broken. You see with the story, some are lost and need to be saved. Some people are backsliding Christians that need to get back and right with the Lord. But there's this older son. What? He's back? Let me tell you, siblings can be jealous of one another. There's always going to be somebody that's going to bring your sin back up in your face. And it always seems like here it's the older son. It's always going to be somebody that may know what you've done. They're going to put your sin back up in your face, or they're going to go out and tell everybody about it. It's one thing you need to know. Some of this stuff is just going to get out. You don't tell everybody what's going on. If you're a father or mother, you don't tell everybody what's going on. They don't need to know everything. If they want to know, they can ask you, but you need to keep that on the down low. They already feel bad. They already feel broken. But the brother was angry about it. Instead of being excited and saying, hey, here's my brother. Man, it's awesome to see you. Give him a big hug and join the crowd. Join and be merry and be happy and celebrate. No, he wants to put it back in his face. And I'm not even going to go into the party because I'm angry about it. Because he's the one that went off and lived a certain way and lived a sinful lifestyle. On the Bible says, mine says harlots or prostitutes. He went out and did that and he comes back. What? What about me? You see, he had a problem too. It was him. It was all about him. But the father said, son, your brother was lost. Now he's found. has come home. His family, man. This is family. And we need to love our family no matter what's going on, whether they're out there or in here. We're going to love them. When they come back, we're going to love them. But let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is awesome. You come back to Him, let me tell you, He not only forgives you, but He restores what you lost. But you got to do it His way. Because remember, our way don't work. Our way, we become financially and spiritually and physically broke. And I think it's awesome that women can come and then testify, and some people just blow it out in proportion and say, oh, that's you can't be even some of the guys, you can't be a virgin once you have sex outside of marriage. Listen, you pledge to God and you ask for forgiveness. Yes, physically you can't redo all your body, but I'm telling you, Jesus says He will forgive it and cast as far as the east from the west to remember it no more. You have to live. You have to. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but I'm telling you, you walk with Jesus, it's going to be better than anything you can get out there. And it doesn't just follow here on this earth, but it follows into the eternal life coming. There are people right now that are on the highway called the prodigal highway, the pig pen highway. Some people are heading to it right now, today. They're heading to it right now. But praise God, there are some that are saying, I need to go home. And they're coming home. And then there's a group of people waiting. They've been waiting for a long time. And they receive that one coming home and they get excited and there is blessings. And there's another family broken because of things that are happening and they've lost one. And then some have found out that there is, you know, suicide is the fastest growing rate right now. For some reason, people don't have a desire to live. That tells me that Satan is having his heyday right now. Because you can't fix it once you die. You can't fix it. You can't fix it. And he said this. And he said to him, to the older son, Son, you're always with me. And all that I have is yours. And it was right that we would make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead. And is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Some of you today, I know, that have someone that you love very much that's not living the way God wants them to live. They're going in a direction that is so bad, you wouldn't be surprised if you might got a call and something happened to them. It would still be a shock, but there's a part of you that still feels, if something happened, I kind of knew that might have been coming. Doesn't make it any easier. Some of us have children that might be doing that. Some of us have family members. Some of us might have friends that might be doing that. There's so many church people that from this church that are, I can't say names, but I'm telling you, there's some people that just breaks my heart. The way they're living out there, how angry they are at the church, how angry they are at God, how angry they are at this and that. Anger, it will take you down, and your bitterness, if you don't deal with bitterness, it will become anger, and then it becomes hatred, and then you are just a cold-hearted person. Let me tell you, Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, Lord, as we move into this part of this service, I ask, Lord, for your spirit to move in a way that only you can. Father, there are many of us, Lord, that have loved ones that are not right with you. May we be and may we step at the crossroads and pray for them. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.